Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I just need my one-on-one time with you, with no interruptions. I just want it to be me and you. I need a one-on-one. I just need a one-on-one with you. Be selfish, but I just can't help it when it comes down to you. myself down to you.
You're now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us the divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com. Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. This is the voice of Black America. This is the voice of the voiceless. You're now tuned into the Star and Crescent Report. Brothers and sisters, as we open up the show, I would like to say this. My voice is spent. Over the weekend, my son's birthday, and then school. We teach homeschooling also, so dealing with these children running around here, my voice is spent. But I still wanted to bring the show to you. And so I gargled and sucked on my lemons and all of that stuff all last night to just come to you and just talk to you a little bit. But first, I want to say this to you all, brothers and sisters, especially for you do-for-selfers, go out there and support the Health Blaze at thehealthblaze.com. Muslim-owned, black-owned. And we have all natural products that you're not going to get anywhere else, especially without animal fat or some kind of pork in it or some kind of chemical in there. We have it where you don't get any of that stuff in it, okay? And it's a labor of love. So go friend us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of those things, Tumblr and all of that. Go there and support. Go to thehealthblaze.com and support Black and Muslim independent business, especially you so-called do-for-selfers who's always paying lip service and lip profession to, we need to do-for-self, we need to do this. I haven't seen none of you over there, huh? You're always screaming about, we need to get our own this. I haven't seen you over there. So that just shows that you give lip profession. And you only want support when it's something that your mind has come up with. Madness. This goes right along with making sense of this crazy and mad world. Because everything is being made manifest today. You know, I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad last night, and I know one of the lectures that I was listening to was the, which one will survive the war of Armageddon. I know that's one of them, but I was listening to about four of them yesterday, four of his lectures, late last night. Sometimes I like to get to myself, put the earplugs in, put the Apple iPod on, and I got to say it again, a few years ago, the brother Amir had bought me an Apple iPod and shipped it to me out of the blue. And I really thank that brother. And he had went to Brother Rashid's house and downloaded so many of the messengers' lectures. I thank those brothers for that. And so at times I get a chance to I'm just communicating with the people. But in one of the lectures, the messenger was talking about the future generation. Then he said, you may be one of the future generation, that rebellious generation. And he was talking about that the chastisement has to come upon you. And we're in that generation right now. That he said, no matter what, that prophecy has to be fulfilled in that generation, that rebellious generation, the seeds of that rebellious generation. He was talking about the people who had rebelled against him. The seeds of that people must be chastised. And I was like, wow, this is what we were talking about on the show. And it's done, you know, it's amazing that this stuff is right here for so-called believers, but they never pick this stuff up. They never listen to this part because it doesn't go along with their narrative of what the messenger teaches. But we're in the midst of change today. And anyone who has eyes can see, even a blind man can see, that the world that you have known, you will soon know it no more. Everything is breaking loose. All hell is breaking loose. And there's nothing you can do to stop what God has ordained and put into motion. So what we're going to do, we're going to start trying to make sense of this crazy mad world, because some of you don't get it. You don't understand why there's black and white confusion and a great racial divide. You don't understand why Syria stood up to America and why that has meaning for you and I. You don't understand why three Muslim nations fell. You don't understand why we're in the end of that 60 to not exceed 70 year race period. And why America and Russia are bumping heads to head, why China and Russia are bumping heads to head, why the American Nazi police force are killing you outright, regardless of audio or video. You're not understanding these things. But today we're trying to make sense of this crazy mad world. You know, if I think we can go to our city, we have to ride for a few minutes. Want to read something to you. Yeah, I'll say we have to ride right here. I think this is, yeah. Let's go to chapter 21, please. Chapter 21 for those of you who like to pick books up and follow along. I'll say we have to ride. Chapter 21, Black and White World Near Showdown. And why did that just come to mind? It's because I want to share with you a clip on Haiti. And then after we share this clip on Haiti, we're going to come back to these private prison corporations in America, and we're going to talk about Black America being under siege and how all of this has to do with the resurrection of the dry bones and how all of this has to do with the purging of the so-called American Negro from the mind of that white man. It has to do with the purging of that love that you have for your oppressor, that identity crisis that Black America is suffering. God is purging you. He's beating the hell out of you to remove that which the white man beat the hell into you. Okay? So we're going to make a little sense of this. And for those of you who are listening, if you get cut off, call back in. If you get knocked offline, go back to your URL and try to get back in. And if they block you from doing this, wait patiently for a few minutes and do it again. Okay? You know how it goes with Blog Talk Radio. But let us go back to this. We read this, but I want to break it down for a second. We'll go on page 103 first. And he says, the chapter is titled Black and White Worlds Near Showdown. Now, for us to get an understanding, this, if a black and a white world, two opposite worlds, are near showdown, what does that mean? They're near war. They're near confrontation. Right? This is what a showdown is. So they're flexing their muscles now to see who will reign and rule the earth. I hope that you're paying close attention. We're going to read something. All right, and give me a second, because you know my voice is really dragging today, but all praise due to Allah. Let's listen. He says, due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purposes to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of the earth. So now, on the coming in the presence of God in person, it brings two worlds, one that has dominated for the past 4,000 to 6,000 years, and the God of the new world to a showdown. And this God of the new world, through the mouths of the prophets of old, said that this God shall be victorious, and this God shall reign, and his world shall live in perpetuity after destruction of the old world that has been under Adam. Right? Are you listening? Are you following along? So we know that upon a Master Farad Muhammad, or the great Mahdi, or the Savior, Jesus Christ's presence, not just coming, but his presence, brings us closer and closer to war. Okay? For us to understand what showdown means, let us go to Webster's Dictionary. The word showdown means a meeting, argument, fight, etc., that will finally settle a disagreement between people or groups. That's what the definition means. So we see the showdown is Armageddon, the armed age of the dawn. There has never been an age like this before, where the nations are armed to the teeth with advanced weaponry, nuclear arsenals, attack ships and attack subs, right? And destroyers, don't they call their ships destroyers? Not builder-uppers, but destroyers. So this is the armed age of the dawn, Armageddon. So on the coming of God in person and establishing his reign and rule and making the people understand that he is not to come anymore, but that in his presence, it brings us closer and closer to the showdown or the Armageddon, right? Let's go a little further. So, Muhammad says, Muhammad writes, the present world, and then in parentheticals he put white people, then he goes and says, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparation made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. Stop right there. What does America say to China? She's disturbing the global order. Even though China is not on America's coast, but America's over there. What is America saying to Russia and Europe? You're destabilizing Europe, even though it is America in Europe, right? What is America saying about, has said about Gaddafi, or said about some of the African nations that are rising up? They're dictators, they're tyrants, they're trying to overthrow the natural, the world order, right? And so they go to war to preserve their world order. Isn't that right? So they will destroy, if they can rule, they are prepared to destroy everyone and leave the earth in a position that it cannot be ruled. But Muhammad says, they boast that they can destroy the present total population of our earth 30 times over again and again. We know that they will not be able to destroy it one time, but they are prepared to do so should they be given the chance. What is America doing right now? In the midst of economic decline, she is putting billions of dollars in space assets for war, right? She can't pay for your education, but she can pay for weaponry to be set out in space, under the sea, on the sea, in the air, and on the land, right? Is that not the case? She can't make health care affordable, but she can spend billions upon hundreds of billions of dollars in bio warfare, right? See, we have to make sense of this stuff. And why? Because of the time. More than anything else, it is because of the time. Okay? Now, man, I didn't know I was going to talk this right here, but let us go further. You see, you have something in your head, and the law will take you in a place where he wants you to be and not where you want to be. But I just say, Lord, I'm your vehicle. Just take me and do what you will as I walk in the spirit of your message. So let us go further. He says, but they are preparing to do so should they be given the chance. This is very hard for you to listen to or to accept from a man who stands at your door telling you that he has prepared to destroy you again and again and blast you out of your own home. We are now told in many skillful and deceitful ways that the white world is prepared and is putting those preparations into action against the black man. Now, the United Nations started by Anglo powers after the fall of their League of Nations. It was supposed to be a 2.0 of the League of Nations. This was supposed to be a Christian-dominated organization. It was. And it was supposed to be a white-dominated organization. And it is, right? And they used these aid groups and these medical groups as a front to experiment on black, brown, red, and yellow people throughout the world, pretending that they're helping to inoculate them against viruses, when in fact they are spreading the viruses and they're experimenting on the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow all over the planet Earth. What the Muhammad says. We are now told in many skillful and deceitful ways that the white world is prepared and is putting those preparations into action against the black man. Now, check this out. The UN, supposedly the highest body of law on Earth, has experimented on the Haitians, right? The Haitians rose up against it. There has been plenty of evidence to support the Haitian people's argument that it was the UN and their presence there under the Clinton Foundation and others, the Red Cross and all of these other ones that you give your money to, that they experimented on these people. And they spread the viruses there. And so the Haitians took the UN to court. But America says, yes, the UN did do such and such, but the UN is immune from being prosecuted in the U.S. court or in any other court because of diplomatic immunity. Madness! The white man washing one of each other's back. You see that? The man, I want you to listen to this, okay? And then we'll come back after this. But this shows you that America is a rogue nation. This shows you where the UN is. This shows you who runs the UN and what the purpose of the UN is for. It is to suppress and oppress all of the darker peoples of the earth for the white people to stay in power, to stay having the influence, and to also to remove you off the planet Earth. I want you to pay close attention to this two-minute clip.
New developments in the ongoing battle of the cholera epidemic in Haiti we've been telling you about. A United States federal appeals court has upheld the United Nations immunity from a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of thousands of cholera victims in Haiti. So what does this mean for the victims? RT's Trinity Chavez is at the UN with the story.
The three-judge panel came to a decision that the United Nations cannot be sued in American courts. This comes only a day after it finally acknowledged its involvement in the cholera epidemic that is killing tens of thousands in Haiti. Since cholera was first introduced in 2010 to Haiti, the disease has killed almost 10,000 people and infected nearly 800,000. And the UN has since denied any affiliation of the cause of the outbreak until last week. In the decision for the panel, Judge Jose Cabranes of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit wrote that the United Nations did not lose its legal immunity, even if it did fail to give the plaintiffs a chance to seek a settlement, as required by an international convention. However, Brian Concannon, a human rights attorney and executive director to the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, explains exactly how the UN's immunity can be forfeited.
Immunity is a two-way street. The UN does have immunity, which is protection from national courts, but it also has an obligation in its own treaties and in its agreement with Haiti to provide victims of people harmed by UN operations with an alternate mechanism for justice. And in this case, where it refuses to provide an alternate mechanism for justice, the UN cannot then invoke its immunity. It is basically forfeited immunity by refusing to uphold its end of the deal.
And it doesn't stop there. Although the outcome may seem like a setback for cholera victims, Concannon says that this is actually a victory because it only draws more attention to finding a solution to end the cholera epidemic.
Cholera keeps on killing. The first half of 2016 was more deadly than any time in the same period since 2013. So as long as cholera keeps killing, the UN is not going to be able to get away with partial measures. So we're committed, as are the cholera victims, as are many of the other people who got the UN to this point, we're committed to keeping fighting, and we will until we get justice.
Concannon and his team are currently evaluating other legal premise they can use to appeal this case to the Supreme Court, and they have 90 days to make that decision. Meanwhile, the UN is expected to give more details on exactly what they're doing to tackle the cholera outbreak within the next 2 months. Reporting in front of the UN, Trinity Chavez, RT.
So, to get prosecution and persecution of the United Nations, you have to go through a U.S. court. What does that tell you? That indeed, that the UN is under America's mandate, right? And that America holds the most sway over the UN. But let's go back to something she said, right? The UN denied any involvement in the spread of the disease in Haiti, right? Up until last week when there was all of this proof presented, then they finally came out and said, yeah, we did it, but we can't be persecuted or prosecuted on the matter, okay? The U.S. courts agreed with them that they did it, but you can't prosecute them. Now, the madness of this, listen to this. Over 10,000 people have died from the cholera, right? This does not include the other deaths that took place, and this does not include the millions that was fleeced by the Clintons and how they never gave that money, that aid relief to Haiti, and how they sent mercenaries over there killing off people. And how their foundation, along with Bill Gates, was over there inoculating black people with certain kind of so-called preventative measures, which caused the thousands to lose their lives. This gets missed in the news, right? But they said 10,000 more died, right, under the cholera. Let's go to the definition, because I want you to listen to this. The definition of genocide. This is genocide, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. The deliberate killing of people who belong to a particular racial, political, or cultural group. The deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group. So, if you knowingly and willfully spread it, cholera that killed tens of thousands of people, what are you guilty of? Huh? Talk to me. Talk back to me. This is what I'm saying. You have to make sense of this stuff. You have to listen to what is being presented to you so that you can understand the mind of these people who hold the levels of power in this world. But Muhammad had forewarned us that. Let's flip over to 104. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us, the white world, as it goes out, has not been asleep to its responsibility. They have been building up their arms and arsenals and factories for this day in order to kill the black man. They are doing this in so many skills. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this real good. This part here, I want you to, because this is what just took place in Haiti, and this is what is taking place in America, because they're also saying that blacks are not being prescribed the right medications. They're getting the worst health care, right? They're being purposely misdiagnosed in America's system. So I want you to listen to this part right here. They are doing this in so many ways with drugs and the surgeon's knife in the hospitals. It is the greatest desire of the white man that he does not leave the black man in position to keep populating the earth under his own color. Our women are the target. So, when you look at the deposition or the makeup of the people who were injected with that, overwhelmingly they were black women. This shows you that they are not asleep to the time, that they are frantically trying to prevent the rise of black people. Don't you know that in every continent, on every continent, they got a program, a birth control program? Do you know that? Do you know that one of the main things of these so-called elite is population control? Not their population, but the indigenous population. And did you know that despite all of their efforts and all of their investments in billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, that Europe's population is on decline, that Australia's white population is in decline, that Russia's white population is in decline, that New Zealand's white population is in decline, that America and all of the Americas that host white populations, they're all in decline. Why here you and I, they can't seem to stop the rise of the black population. So they want to make the black population go to jail. They want to build all these prisons for you. This is in America and around the globe. Isn't that right? Don't you see it? Now, I want to say this again to you. We're seeing phone calls being dropped, dozens of them. Again, brothers, if you get dropped, call back in. If they block you from calling back in, pause for a second and call back in. If you get dropped on your computer, refresh your screen and go back to your URL, okay? All praise is due to Allah. I hope that this works because Blog Talk, you or something else, I guess I'm hitting a nerve with you right now. But I have to do this. I have to tell the truth, and I have to explain the time to the people because if I knowingly mislead you or if I don't speak what I know is to be the truth, then God will chastise me. Not that I'm a messenger, but I am a follower of the divine messenger of God. And I'm going to speak it because I know it, and I'm going to tell it regardless to whom or what, and you do what you will, and I leave my faith and my trust in my God to do what he will. Okay? Making sense of this crazy and mad world. So, with that being said, we're seeing a effort to try to destroy black America. We're seeing an effort by these people to move against us on every continent on the face of the planet Earth. We're seeing a concerted effort by them to forestall the rise of the Aboriginal people and to try to buy for time for their own time. And this is leading towards confrontation. Toward a what? Showdown. Remember what showdown means? A meeting, argument, fight, etc. that will finally settle a disagreement between people or groups. Right? So, this showdown, Armageddon, the arm age, and we know that it has just dawned. Because look at America. There's a great divide. Look in Europe. There's a great divide. Look in Africa. You see the people. Look at how the ANC has lost seats in South Africa to people who are saying, we are tired of white people in our country. We're tired of them controlling our economy. We're tired of them here. Send them back to Europe. And so the ANC suffered massive defeats across the country for the first time since they came to power because the people are longing for change. Because they're tired of white meddling. They're tired of these things. So, at one hand, you have blacks reaching for self. On the other hand, you have the oppressors trying to suppress that rise. But I want to let them know that there's no weapon, no army, or combination of weapons and armies that is as powerful as an idea whose time has come. You cannot stop this because God has ordained it. And back here in America, the most wicked and vile nation on the planet Earth, there's a writing out today, and the headline is this. U.S. killing of blacks has reached epidemic proportions. Isn't that something? You say you are equal with America, then why don't they treat you equally? Huh? I ask you these questions because some of us think we know it all. Some of us think that we can lead our people when we're leading them into harm's way, talking about pick up the guns when the white man has more guns than you, when he has more weapons than you, then he has better military training than you. You're talking about pick up the gun. I'm saying pick up the gun. You saying the guns. I say the gun. And let's see which idea will win out. Okay? But it says, U.S. killings of blacks has reached epidemic proportion. Isn't that something? I want to, you know what, since we're on that word epidemic, before we go to the next clip, I want you to listen to this. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word epidemic means affecting or tending to affect a disproportionately large number of individuals within a population, community, or region at the same time. Excessively prevalent. Isn't that something? Characterized by very widespread when they are not killing you, they're locking you up for profit. I want you to pay close attention to this. And then after you listen to this, tell me whether or not you still want to integrate with America. Tell me whether or not you still believe that you have the right way. Tell me whether or not the stuff that Elijah Muhammad has been teaching for 80 years is sounding better to you. Because if it is not sounding better to you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be chastised and you're going to see this devil more fully than you've seen before, and you're going to come over to what he's saying. But I want you to pay close attention to this, because they're showing you that in their eyes, you are nothing but a slave. Oh, excuse me, brothers and sisters, this thing right here.
New developments in the ongoing battle of the cholera epidemic in Haiti we've been telling. The Department of Justice announced it ultimately plans to stop using private prisons. The decision received considerable airtime and was lauded as a step in the right direction when it comes to mass incarceration in this country and in addressing the human rights abuses seen in private prisons. But that just scratches the surface. When we look a little bit deeper, we find that private prisons are not the driving factor in mass incarceration. Human rights abuses in immigration detention centers will not be addressed, although that is the fastest growing area of the private prison industry. And companies that profit from mass incarceration in our country still have plenty of ways to make money off of our prisoners. Joining me now is Sarah Lazar, staff writer for Alternet and the author of the article, What You Need to Know About the DOJ's Claim It Is Ending Private Prisons. Sarah, thank you for joining me today. This country, it seems ready to reform our mass incarceration policies. It certainly has bipartisan support. Now, as you've pointed out, the U.S. makes up just 5% of the world population, but 20% of its prison population. Does this DOJ announcement make a dent in that?
In my opinion, this DOJ announcement does not go far enough towards addressing the core root cause of the problem, which is mass incarceration, prisons, period. It's not just private prisons, it's public prisons that are actually the main drivers of mass incarceration. We're seeing a U.S. public weary of mass incarceration. We're seeing people at immigrant detention centers plagued with human rights violations, protesting, hunger striking, mothers locked up with their children, hunger striking, saying our treatment is unjust. We're seeing this in both public and private prisons. And what the DOJ did was commit, it didn't do anything yet, but it committed to phasing out or reducing a small fraction of the federal contracts that exist with private prison corporations.
And Sarah, we have a graph that can show just how little private prisons make up of the total prison population. It's from the Prison Policy Initiative, and you can see in 2014 there were 131,000 prisoners in private prisoners of the nearly 1.6 million prisoners in federal and state prisons. That's about 8%. And it just means that these prisoners are going to go back into federal and state prisons, not private prisons. That could lead to overcrowding. So what? There has to be some sort of significance in this decision, though.
Well, you know, a lot of human rights organizations are saying, look, this is a step in the right direction, but what we need right now is a big picture look at mass incarceration overall, and we can't afford to keep taking these small steps. We need to really look at why it is that the U.S. is the biggest jailer in the world, and why it is that the prison industrial complex disproportionately targets poor people and Black and Latino people. And so, you know, human rights groups are really saying, if there is this public concern about this aspect of incarceration, let's look at the big picture. Let's take this moment and try to move forward and make some real change.
Right, because for starters, it's calling the public prisons almost like the example, when we know for a fact that it's not the example, it just might be a little bit better than private prisons. But what also do you think of the fact that immigrant detention facilities are not included in this directive? I mean, the vast majority of them are operated by private companies, and there's no shortage of human rights abuse claims coming from them.
Yeah, so according to the latest figures provided by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, over 70% of all immigration detention beds are actually run by private prison corporations. And so this is definitely the fastest area of growth for private prison companies. Companies like GEO Group and CCA have made windfall profits from the incarceration and locking up of refugees, migrants, and immigrants. And it's a huge mistake to not listen to the calls of those people who are locked up and those families outside demanding reunification, demanding an end to the horrible human rights violations we're seeing in those prisons.
And you're talking about a few of the ways that these private prison companies can continue to make money off of the immigrant detention facilities. Their stocks still took a huge nosedive with this announcement last week that the DOJ wasn't going to be renewing their contracts or was going to shorten their contracts. But many think they're going to bounce back because there's still so many ways to profit from our mass incarceration problem. What other ways keep prison profiteers afloat?
So there are many ways that prison profiteering manifests beyond the owning and operating of the prison overall, from ankle bracelets to overcharging for phone calls. We are also seeing CCA's spokesperson assuring its shareholders that this ultimately will not impact the bottom line too much because the, you know, only 7% of the company's entire U.S. profits are dependent on the kinds of contracts that the DOJ claims that it's going to sever. And I also think it's important to note that we actually don't know at this point how the DOJ directive will play out. What they do is make a commitment to take action in the future, and that action involves a phasing out or reduction of contracts, and we have yet to see what that looks like in practice.
And the commitment, many believe, does not go far enough. Sarah Lazar, staff writer for Alternate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Days ago, as they were talking, it came to mind. I was looking at the situation in England, in the UK, or whatever they want to call it, England, Britain, the UK, whichever they want to call it. But the same conditions exist there. They are mirrored back in America. And it brought to mind what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about those two nations there. And I'm going to read it shortly. We're going to go over to Fall of America real quick. We'll leave out. I say we have a ride for a few minutes, then we'll go to Fall of America. But you see the mistreatment of you and I. You understand that this has to be to bring about things. God is allowing this devil to do certain things, not only to open your eyes and to remove all of the love and the passion and desire that you have to be with them and integrate with them, but also to expose them for the entire world as a mockery before the world. Because who is it that's always talking about democracy, yet deprives blacks of democracy in any nation that stands against their will for democracy? Who is it that puts up these voter rights acts against you, saying that you're an equal citizen and then deprives you of all of the rights of an equal citizen, right? Who is it that always talks about human rights, yet is only 5% of the population of the planet Earth and has 20 to 25% of the prison population, and 70 to 90% of that prison population is the ex-slaves? Huh? Talk back to me. Who is it that is always talking about the security of life, yet bombs the hell out of anybody else and kills us right on the streets in her own borders on a daily basis? Huh? See, this is what God is doing. He's showing the world America's shame. And the nations are now mocking her when she claims that. You remember John Kerry when Russia was helping her Russian citizens in Ukraine, even though Russia didn't invade Ukraine. And John Kerry had the nerve to stand up on international television and wag his finger at Russia and say that, in words, this is what he said. This is the 21st century. No civilized nation. And he said something to the fact of the 21st century goes and invades other nations. And America's she's involved in over 135 wars or conflicts around the world. Over 135 of them. And she's going to wag her finger at Russia. And Russia's getting involved in her own neighborhood, not on America's doorstep. See, this is God showing the world America's shame. How she preaches to the other ones about freedom, yet she deprives 68 million of our own kind, freedom on an hourly basis. You see? But the world is seeing this. And I want you to see this 3-minute clip here about the Philippines president. I'm going to read something when we come back. But I want you to listen to this. Some of this you won't understand because some of it is in is in Filipino, but some of it is in English. But you have to listen closely. And the part in Filipino, at the end, the new Philippine president, he was saying that America, John Kerry, comes there to bribe him. He says, because they were bucking up against the American system, and America is scared that they were going to lose the 5 military bases in the Philippines, and John Kerry came to the Philippines with a suitcase with $33 million and dropped it off to him. This is what he was saying to his people in a national televised speech. This is what he said. He said, maybe I should start talking worse about them so that they can drop some more money off to us. Like this, and the people laughed about it. But he also brought up America's hypocrisy. He brought up America's killing of black people. See, this is how Allah, and this is in English, this part about the killing of blacks and about her bombing other nations and killing other people. This is in English. This is 3 minutes. This goes to show you that Allah is exposing America for the entire world to see. And she's no longer that city that sitteth upon a hill. You see, God, I'll tell you, we got the grand strategizer in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I want you to listen closely to this.
Philippines trash-talking President Rodrigo Duterte has insulted the United Nations and threatened that his country could indeed separate from the organization. That was very, very recently. It was in response to criticism over his approach to tackling drug-related crime. In fact, since July, Philippine police have reportedly killed over 700 people in anti-drugs operations. His outburst later had been qualified by the country's foreign minister.
You know, United Nations, if you can say one bad thing about me, I can give you 10. Repercussions, I don't give a shit to them.
The statement of the president is a statement expressing profound disappointment and frustration.
The foreign minister also asked people to cut the president some slack too, because he was hungry and tired while making said statement, apparently. It wasn't only the UN, though, that came under fire in Duterte's latest outpouring against critics. He also criticized the actions of US authorities at home and abroad.
When you bomb Syria and Iraq, and you kill communities, and you kill children and old people and hospital, what is it? And why is it that United States is not doing anything? I do not read anybody in that stupid body complaining about the stench there of that. Look at the iconic boy that was taken out from the rebels. We cannot discount it. But what do you think that the Americans did to the black people there? Is that not rubbing out also?
So what about that set of statements? Was it down to just maybe needing a bar of chocolate, a sugar rush, or is there more to it? Well, our correspondent in Washington, Caleb Mopin's across it. Hi there. He doesn't hold back, President Duterte, does he?
Well, we're still waiting for a response from U.S. officials to the recent comments from the Philippine president. It's very interesting. Duterte took office in a wave of populist sentiments in the Philippines, and this is certainly not the first time he's lashed out against the United States. He's often even used obscene language when talking about U.S. officials. Let's take a listen to some of his more recent comments.
Kausap namin si Kerry. Okay naman siya kasi nag-away kami nung ambassador niya. Yung ambassador yung bak***. Buisit ako dyan.
I think what we're seeking is perhaps a better understanding of why that statement was made.
So that Kerry pumunta dito, nakain kami, iniwanan pa kami ni si Delphi ng $33 million. So okay to ah. Bastusin natin uli para magreglo itong buang nito.
We look forward to working closely with his administration going forward. The Philippines is an ally and a partner in the region.
So perhaps we have an answer about why the United States has not directly responded to the Filipino president's recent comments. Now, the Philippines is described by the United States as a major non-NATO ally. There are billions of dollars between the United States and the Philippines every year in multilateral trade. And furthermore, the United States has 5 military bases in the Philippines. Now, the Philippines is a key ally of the United States in the region, especially when it comes to the South China Sea issue, as there are rising tensions with China in that region.
Caleb, thanks for the update from Washington there.
So, he was speaking in Filipino, he was telling the people what he said to John Kerry and the U.S. ambassador. He said he called him in his office and said, John Kerry, your ambassador is a gay SOB. This is what he said. See, when did you ever think that you would see people, smaller nations, stand up to America like that and spit in their faces, in the high diplomat's face? See, and he brought up, what do you think they're doing to the blacks in America? Huh? What have they done to them? You see how he pointed the finger right back to them. This is God exposing America for the whole world to see. You never thought this day would arrive. So we're making sense of this crazy, mad world so that you can understand that the hand of time is ticking against America. And she's desperately trying to keep her influence. She's desperately trying to keep the empire going. She's desperately trying to stop your rise. But God has ordained these things, and nothing she can do, say, or plan, or plot can stop what God has ordained. Black man and black woman, give me a few minutes, and then I'm going to go to Brother Rashid. I see his hands up. But I want to go to Fall of America real quick to follow this up. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on page 132, he says, it's not the history of ancient Babylon's unforgiving evils a sign that a future enslavement of God's people, the American so-called Negroes, will not be forgiven? Yet, there may be a chance, as Babylon had, but they will not do that which God desires them to do so that he may pardon them and forgive them and prolong their time. The revelations of John prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds, but blasphemed the very name of God. What the white man, isn't he cussing out Allah every time he gets a chance? Isn't he waging war on Islam? Isn't he trying to demonize Islam using his proxies? What is he doing in America? Whenever a black person screams out for justice, then you have a white opposition group comes up, white lives matter, white this and white that, when they have been the privileged people in America since they robbed and spoiled the Indians and dragged us here in chains. They have never made amends to it. They've never given us reparations. They've never given us what was rightfully ours. So God comes in person to take it from them. Right? Let's go a little further. I want you to understand this. This is how you understand the news. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad goes further and says, therefore, when a man is guilty of a great evil done against the cause of God and his people, he cannot be forgiven unless he seeks forgiveness for himself, excuse me. We see this in the working of the fall of America today. I say fall, for most surely this is the divine fall of America, as it was of ancient Babylon for its evils done to the Jews. Even to this late date, America does not want to repent of her evil done to her black slaves. I have given her a right chance, but she does not want to do justice by her free slaves to get an extension of time from Allah. So, the messenger gives her a way out. She rejects it. Allah takes the messenger from in the midst of us, and now the judgment is set. There's no way out for America. She must now be brought to her knees for the evil that she has done to us. Now, let's go over to something. So, as I said, these actions fit those of Britain or England or the UK or whatever you want to call them, and America. They're mirroring each other in the financial markets. They're mirroring each other in the debt markets. They're mirroring each other geopolitically. They're hand in hand in their mistreatment of you and I. They keep the blacks in poverty and suppressed and oppressed in England, just like they're doing in America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. A careful observer or seeker of truth of the time and history being made in these times can easily see how well the history of ancient Babylon, its rulers, and its people fit in with the histories of the rulers and peoples of America and England. America's enslavement of the so-called Negro and England's enslavement of people fit so completely with the history of ancient Babylon that it cannot be denied that the wicked history of the Babylonian empire and people was prototypical of America. Is that not right? Is that not what we're seeing? Or we're not listening to news that is confirming what we are speaking? So we're looking at, we know the end of Babylon. We knew the beginning of Babylon. And so we know the beginning of America. And through the history of Babylon, through the history of Egypt, we now see the fall of America and England. We see it. Let me go to the phone lines real quick before the time runs out. Brother Rashid, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about yourself, brother?
Yes, fine. Brother, getting back up on what you was talking about earlier, the reason why, you know, the white man is going after black people. See, the black man don't understand. The white man is different than us. Anytime you have a man that have to be have sunscreen on to go out in the sun, that means he's not a natural man. That means he's a produced man. All animals, life on this planet, come up out of the planet and then live in the life of the sun is a natural thing. It's natural to walk out in the sun. But if you not can't go out in the sun and you gotta have some sunscreen, that means you are a produced man. Just go back to what the messenger said, that they were produced by a man named Yaqub 6,000 years ago. And the messenger said when he once was a black man, but when he went through this grafting process, his characteristics changed. He's not like he once was. He don't see and think like a black man once was. And the proof of the pudding is that the white man want to kill everybody. It's what he was just saying earlier. He wants to get rid of all people on the planet Earth, and he have plans on blowing up everybody. And that's what I mainly wanted to say today, brother. That's the reason, the main reason why the white man and us cannot get along, because his whole makeup has been changed from what he once was. He's not a black man anymore. He is a white man, like the man you say, going through from the black, brown, red, and yellow, something was taken out of every last one of those people. Something was taken out of the brown that he can't agree 100% with the black. Something was taken out of the yellow that he can't agree 100% with the brown. And same thing with the white man. This is the reason why Allah separated these two. The scriptures say he separated them. He knew what he was doing. He the one who created them. Because you can't force everybody together. And if you force everybody together, somebody going to rise up and try to take over. The messenger teaches us when Yaqub, the brown man, was created in the Yaqub's grafting process, they were taken and put over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, there was black people there in Japan all along. But over time, the Japanese got together and murdered off or wiped out all of those black people was there. Now you got nobody over there but Japan, Japanese. Same thing with China. They had black people in China, but that he got together and wiped out the Jets. You cannot have forced everybody together because everybody don't think alike. And this is what you have right now. We can never get along with white people because they don't think like us. We don't feel that it's perfectly to go 10,000 miles away from your shores, murder up everybody, steal all their natural resources, and bring it back to your country. If you're a black man, you don't do that. But if you're a white man, that's perfectly legal. Perfectly fine.
Listen. Let me interject on that. Or like Syria, when the Syrian Air Force is flying in their skies, America invades their country and says that you're bombing in your country next to our troops that are there illegally. We have the right to defend ourselves. The madness of this.
This is true. And like the white man, what he did right here in America. He came and stole his land from the Indians. Now, that's an evil act. Anybody that claims to be an American is out of their mind. An American is founded on evil. He stole this country, murdered off their inhabitant, and then claimed that this is his. What, don't your Bible and tell you that what God would do with people that murder people off and steal their land? Then he went and got the black man from America, brought him over here, enslaved him, worked him for 310 years, and then gave him one red cent, and then got rich. What, isn't that an evil act? This is what all of these people are doing. That is his characteristic. He feels that whatever he do to anybody is all right because I did it. What do you call it? The manifest destiny. Because I was doing it and he was all right.
Yes, sir.
It shows that, like the man said, we cannot live with these people. Separation is the only, like the black man, the black lives matter. The white man don't care about your lives. To him, it don't matter. You don't matter. Proof of the fact is he's been doing it and continue to do it. The only solution to the black man is separation from, plain and simple. If a man and a woman cannot get along together, what is the obvious and the thing to do? It is a divorce.
Divorce.
Separation. If two people can't get together, what is the obvious thing to do? It's to separate. Now, that's a logical thing, but if you are a so-called American Negro, your brain is not in perfectly position. It's turned backwards, so you think the opposite of what's sane. You are insane.
Yeah,
we get together with the white man and force him to treat us like himself. We can't do that. It's his nature. By the mere fact that he's going through that grasping process, your black skin insults him. That black skin is, it pushes me. Get away from him, Negro. Now, he don't want you around him, but I want to kill you, but I don't want to let you go. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
Yeah. Now let me jump on what you said about the separation, about how that is the only logical solution. But let us go back to what the messenger said. Because of the time now, and because the white man has spread himself around the globe and throughout the earth, separation no longer is that is the goal. But the messenger said that Allah has to kill them now. He has to destroy, not just move them to another country. He got to kill them now. And this is where we are in time, because he's going everywhere. He's killing everybody. And if you don't bow to him, even if you do bow to him, once he gets fed up with you, he kills you. So the only logical thing now is for him to die. Some of you don't like to hear that, but this is what the prophets have predicted. This is what the God had ordained, and this is what must take place. And the messenger say, this is why God now rises up the nations and sets the nations against him to make war against him. So this is what we're seeing today. The separation is underway. The nations are seeing that there's a need now to separate from America. And the black man in America and around the world will soon know that there must be a separating point between them and the white man. There must be. And God is going to kill these people.
What does the Quran say? Separation spread far and wide. You see, in Jesus' time, as I always tell people, in Jesus' time, Prophet Muhammad said, the most deadly thing on the planet was a rock or a born out. If you wanted to really kill somebody to put a match, you have to send people to do your killing. Right? And
right.
God, according to the scriptures, God sent prophets left and right to stop people from back then in ancient times of telling them to do righteousness. Well, now the white man can push a button and destroy half of humanity. Which one is more important? Right? Which one is more important today or back when a little town or a village or whatever was outrageous? The white man now can destroy all humanity. And if Allah don't quickly do not get rid of him, he'll kill everybody. This is the most important time. So this is what God got to make his a presence today. And if he's a little too late, the white man will kill everybody. We have to be separated now. And like you said, the white man is all over the planet. And if you get rid of him here, we don't want to be dogged up by the white man in England or by the white man in Australia or by the white man. He got everybody up under his watch. This is the reason why you got to remove him. If not, everybody is dead.
And don't forget, we don't want to be ruled by them white Arabs either. So this goes back to this, making sense of this crazy, mad world. This is why Allah is allowing all these wars to take place, to kill off all of these people who are opposed to his will and opposed to his purpose and his aims. That is why you see all of these conflagrations and conflicts around the globe. What did Messenger Muhammad say that Allah told him face to face? that he would kill off nations to give us a home, right? Is that not what's going on right now?
According to God of Elijah Muhammad, two-thirds of the planet will go down in this. Two-thirds of the planet must be removed because of the mixture of blood and because of the what's going on, the white man interjecting his understanding or his will among everybody. So that's a lot of people that's got to be killed off, brother, according to the statement. That's almost 5 billion people, or 5 or 6 billion people that's got to be killed off.
And we're seeing it. We're seeing it right now. Well, brother, thank you for joining us, brother. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to close out the show. I thank Brother Rashid for joining us. Brothers and sisters, listen. I want you, as you see these events take place, be patient and be calm for God to work out his work. Separate yourself from this madness, this sport and play, the hardiness and the arrogance of this white slave master. And if you must, do as Prophet Muhammad did. When Prophet Muhammad couldn't find any refuge 1,400 years ago, he went and betook himself to a cave. Your cave is your house. Go to your house and deal with your family. Deal with. You shouldn't be out at no 2, 3 o'clock in the morning anyhow. There's nothing but madness out there. And so when we're looking at these things that are transpiring today, know that God has come to save you, and everything that the prophets predicted are happening right now, black man and black woman, right here, right now. And it's all for you. When you look at the situation in the South China Sea, smile, because that is happening for you. The messenger said that Allah must cause the nations to give America a headache and to come against her so that he can break her grip over you at home. So when you see the war in Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Yemen, and all over the Middle East, be proud that the time for your deliverance has come. It is here, because these things must take place. When you see America desperately trying to overthrow nations and governments, be proud, because the prophet's words are standing true. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the liberation, the redemption, and the freedom of every one of the 68 million of our kind here in America, and then the billions around the world. Always know that your little brother loves you, but my love pales in comparison to Allah and his divine last messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam. Brothers and sisters, until we next meet again, I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day, the rosy tears.